Our Father, we thank you for the truth that brings us here today, that Jesus is alive. We serve a risen Savior. And Lord, I pray that as we look at that account again, that you would speak to us. Father, it's your word. We pray that your Spirit would use your word to speak to us, to bring us to wherever we need to be this morning. Father, only you can do that. And we ask that your will be done in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read for you an excerpt from my book, Along the Way. Now, this isn't one of those shameless pitches for some bestseller. This book isn't even a seller. It's free. And you can grab one in the back at one of the tables when you go. But I want to read a portion of one of the chapters here for you to get started. Our son and his family spent an Easter Sunday night with us. And then they went on to the aquarium in Duluth on Monday morning. Later that afternoon, our phone rang, and it was our granddaughter, Maisie. I answered, and she said that they were on their way home. The rest of the conversation went like this. "Did you have a good time at the aquarium?" I asked. Maisie replied, "It was really fun, except one bad thing happened." "What was that?" I asked. "I was taking a picture with Mommy's camera, and I accidentally dropped it in the water," Maisie explained. "Oh, no," I said. "Did that make your mom sad?" There was a moment of silence. "April Fool's, Grandpa." That apparently was an Easter Monday that was on April 1st. And lo and behold, that's the case this year, right? This is the last day of March. Tomorrow, Easter Monday, April Fool's Day. Isn't that interesting? The followers of Christ had found something to live for. They had followed Jesus, and now they had someone to live for. They had found hope that they'd never had before. They had someone to follow, not only in this life, but on into life eternal. But now, all of those things were gone. Jesus was dead, and his body lay in a tomb, brutally executed on a cross. Maybe none of this had even been true. Maybe it was an April Fool's joke. Maybe the followers had just had a good 3-year experience being with a very special man. But now it was over. Matthew 26:56 says that when Jesus was arrested, all of the disciples deserted him. They ran. Peter did sneak into a courtyard around a fire long enough to deny that he even knew Jesus 3 times and then ran away in remorse. John did spend some time at the cross with Mary, but he never got involved in taking care of the body and the burial. The rest were long gone.
they were in hiding.
Outside of Jerusalem, the Roman soldiers were cleaning up the bloody mess and preparing for the next execution. The religious leaders were celebrating their perceived victory and busy coming up with stories to counter any idea of a resurrection. The disciples, as I said, were hiding out in fear, in grief, confusion, perhaps even in guilt. They'd lost hope. And the women were coming to the tomb to finish caring for the body, not to witness a resurrection. That wasn't their intention. It was to care for the body. But as Greg read from Matthew 28, there was no body. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. And there was an angel. And let me remind you of what the angel said. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead." It was no April Fool's joke. He had risen. It was true. The tomb was empty. Here's one of the most important questions you'll hear this morning. Do you believe it? Do you believe the tomb was empty? Do you believe Jesus rose from the grave? Do you believe Jesus conquered death? Do you believe Jesus is alive today in heaven, preparing a place for his people? Do you believe that? I've asked God to stamp on our hearts and our minds two scriptures this morning. I'd like you to turn to the first one in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And before we read this and think about it, let me pray. Father in heaven, this is your word. Your word is powerful. Your word is true. You promise that it will never return not having fulfilled its purpose. Father, as we read these verses and think about them, would you by your Spirit do your work in hearts and minds? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. Paul has been talking about Jesus, and he says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Who died for them and was raised again? Jesus Christ. Paul says he died for us and he rose again for us. Why? So that we would no longer live for ourselves. But that we would live for the one who died for us and rose again. In verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone enters this union, this relationship with Christ, the new creation has come. They become a new person, a new kind of person. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God. What is that new person? What is that new kind of person, that new creation that appears when we enter a relationship with Christ? It's a person who no longer lives for themselves, but lives for the one who died and rose again. That's the new person. That's the new kind of person. If you recall back when you had to memorize the Ten Commandments, anybody had to memorize the Ten Commandments? You remember the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. And there are many so-called gods out there, always have been. But the very first of the Ten Commandments says, no other gods. And do you know what the most common god is, the most common false god is that exists? All you have to do to answer that question is look in a mirror. Look in a mirror. It's the most common god out there. Self. We live for ourselves. We want to control our own lives. We want to be in charge of our life. We think we know best. It's all about me. Do you remember what Jesus said the greatest command was? He said the greatest command was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. To love Him first. The greatest command isn't love yourself. No matter what the songs say, no matter what anybody says, loving yourself is idolatry. There is to be no other God. And there is to be love for God first. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet says, all we like sheep, we're like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we turned, every one of us, to what? Our own way. Way back then, that was the problem. We live for ourselves. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, and I think it's repeated like two or three other times, but Solomon in his wisdom says, there's a way that seems right to a person, but the end is ruin. Anybody here who has experience the truth of that proverb? That the longer you go living for yourself, thinking it's the right way, the closer you get to ruin. Friends, you and I are not very good gods. And we didn't rise again from the dead for anybody. Only Jesus. And He died and rose again so that we who live for ourselves and are headed for ruin because of that can now live for Jesus And that does not lead to ruin. It does not lead to ruin. Turn with me to 1 Peter. The second scripture I want God to impress on us, 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, let's pray. Father, this is your word. It's truth. Your word is powerful. I ask that your Spirit would take this scripture and speak to our hearts and our minds. Amen. 1 Peter 1, starting with 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. There's a new birth. Jesus called it being born again, entering a new life. That new kind of life that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 5. And Peter says that that new birth, that new life, that union with Jesus brings living hope. Living hope. Not just hope. Living hope. And that living hope is that one day, we with Jesus will experience heaven. Living for yourself, friends, will never bring that kind of hope to your life. Living for yourself will never give you a hope beyond this world. Only living for Jesus will bring living hope. A hope that you can live out right here and then experience forever with Jesus. And it comes through the new birth. It comes through trusting Jesus, being in Christ, knowing him personally. So, this morning, I want you to really think about this seriously. If you're a person who has come here living for yourself, you decided quite a while ago that this living for Jesus thing isn't something you're interested in, and so you've been living for yourself, I would ask you, how is that going? How is that turning out? Think about your life a few years down the road, if you continue to live for yourself, what will it look like? There's nothing you can do to produce hope beyond this world. There's nothing you can do personally to produce that. And so I encourage you to think about living for the one who died and rose again for you. For you. That's why he died. He paid for your sins. He was judged in your place. The judgment you and I deserve. In order for there to be forgiveness available. And he rose again. He conquered death to show he has the power to give us life beyond the grave. Victory over the grave. And friends, he did it so you would no longer have to live for yourself, but for the Jesus who died and rose again for you. You can have that living hope that was provided through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter said. Easter is a wonderful time to surrender your life to Christ, to repent before Him and seek His forgiveness. And to trust your life with Him. Let Him be the one you live for. Now, my fellow believers, which is probably many of you, from our church family and from maybe other church families, I have a word for you and for me. Here we are. Another Easter Sunday, filling the church, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, because we believe it actually happened, right? Does that truth that you say you believe really matter to you? Can you come to a service like this, an Easter service with a filled church celebrating the resurrection of Christ, which you believe is true, really happened, and go home unaffected? Think about the idea of Jesus dying for you. Think of the idea of the power it took for Jesus to rise from the dead. Think about all that that means. How can we as believers in that come to a full church building, celebrate it, and go home unaffected? Does that make sense? Some of us will wake up tomorrow on Easter Monday, and the lives we live as Christians will say, April Fool. We'll just go back to our life of mixed up priorities. We'll go back to our life that hardly gives any signs that we love Jesus and are committed to Him. Totally unaffected by what's gone on this morning. Come on. Does that make sense at all? But it's going to happen. Sadly, it's going to happen. Christians will celebrate the resurrection. They say they believe. They'll go home, and Monday they will start living the same old mixed-up priority life that gives no indication that they have a commitment to Jesus Christ and even know Him. The truth of Easter matters. It matters. So let's get serious about it, Christian brothers and sisters. Let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Full bore, celebrate it. But then let's go out revived to live for Him and to practice living hope like we've never done before. Maybe it's time for rededication, Christian friends. Maybe it's time for some kind of recommitment. If we really believe that the resurrection happened, it should make a difference. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the love that sent Jesus to the cross. Thank you that you loved us so much, you sent your one and only Son. Father, what he went through for us, the suffering and the shame and the mockery and the beatings that he went through because he knew that his death would pay for our sins so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with you. Thank you for Jesus and his love. Thank you for his power that conquered death. Thank you that he lives, today, and that those who know him are going to see him alive and be with him forever. We have that living hope. Father, I pray for those here who don't know you, who are living for themselves. Oh God, before that leads them down a road that they will regret, I pray that you will remind him of these scriptures. Remind her of these scriptures. And may this Easter be the time when they trust Jesus to be the one they follow. Father, I pray for us as Christians. Lord, forgive us for how many Easters we've come to a place like this and we've celebrated what we say we believe. Forgive us for then going our way and it not affecting us at all, not showing at all in the life we live. Father, help us this time, this year. This is no April Fool's thing, Lord. This is true. This is serious. This matters. Help us to live out our living hope and to live for the one who died and rose again for us. And may you be glorified when we do that. And may the world know that there is a Savior that they need. In his name we pray and we thank you. Amen.